Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, What is the Purpose of the Lord's Supper?
This week, I'd like to talk with you about the Lord's Supper. Especially, what does God do for us in the Lord's Supper? What's its purpose? What is it all about? The church has been celebrating this, right, for 2,000 years, keeping this meal. We do it every first and third Sunday, as do Christians around the world celebrate it often. And so today, let's take a look, though, at the Lord's Supper and see what God would teach us by the Scriptures. Let's refresh ourselves in the truths of what He teaches us about this meal we're about to receive here today, the Lord's Supper. What can we say of that? Well, to start out, let's take a look here at the night when Jesus was betrayed in Matthew chapter 26, when he gave the disciples the Lord's Supper. We read in verse 26 of Matthew 26, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So there we already have the institution of the Lord's Supper, right? What do we learn already, even before we get to the main purposes? Number one is that God, that is Jesus, intends to bless us by this meal. Amen? Amen. He says, again, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples." So this meal is given to us by God, not to harm us, not to hurt us, not for some whim or capricious notion of God, as if God's up there in heaven saying, "Gee, I have to give them something to do. Let's just give them a supper, you know, some busy work." Obviously, it's not that, but very intentional, very powerful, as all things God does for his people, to bless us by it, right? So it's a great blessing. It's awesome. It's amazing, as we'll see. And then secondly here, it's to bless his people, right? To whom did Jesus give this supper? It says he gave it to the disciples. This meal is not for everyone. It's not for the whole world. God didn't give it to the whole world. He gave it to his disciples, to his people, to bless them by it. Therefore, it's an exclusive meal. Not everyone is called to this meal. Christians, those who have believed in Jesus as Savior and Lord, are called to this meal that God might bless you by it. And so that is a fabulous thing. Think of these words from Luke's account of the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "This is my body which is given for you." And likewise, the cup after supper, saying, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." What's the word I accented there? Yeah, for you, the words, right? So say for you. That's amazing. Think about it. It's for you today. God gives this meal to bless you by it, amazingly. So let's take a look then. What are the blessings in it? What is the benefit? What's the purpose Jesus had in giving us the Lord's Supper? Well, purpose and benefit number one is this. When you take this meal, it is to point you to the past, to look backward, to remember Jesus, his work, his life, death, and resurrection, all he did to save you, his salvation. And where do we read that? That we should be looking back when we partake of this meal. Well, we turn over here to Luke chapter 22 once again. Get over here in my Bible. And Jesus, it says, "And he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So what is this meal? A memorial meal where we are do you do that when you take the Lord's Supper? Do you partake of it thinking back, remembering Jesus and all he did to save you? Say amen. Ah, just making sure. Okay. You're with me, right? And why do we need to be reminded? Why did God give us a meal of remembrance like this? Why did Jesus give it? Because the answer, we tend to forget. It's so easy for us to forget things, isn't it? Do you find that? In my life, as you know, earlier sailed tall ships. I've done thousands of miles. And I've traveled to 33 or so countries in my youth. I had astounding adventures, amazing experiences, wonderful things I've gone through. If you ask me about them today, you know what I'd say? I don't remember. I really don't. It's a blur. Unless someone brings out some pictures, photographs, and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. Otherwise, it's just like, I know I sailed, but I'm like, what did I do? I hardly remember it, right? You can forget. How about this? You guys ever know somebody really intimately, and then you don't see them for like a year or two, and then you meet them and you can't even remember their name? How embarrassing is that, right? Say, I mean, you've been there. You've been there with that. I can share with you something really to my shame, okay? This is really pathetic. One day I was calling somebody here from church on our church phone, while it's ringing, my mind got distracted and then I was on to something else. All of a sudden I hear, "Hey, Pastor Greg," and I'm like, "Oh, hi. So, how's it going with you these days?" I'm just like, come on, I gotta hear some voice. Maybe I can recognize. I have no idea who I just called. I'm just like, who on earth is this? I didn't say that, but I tried to get some information. I figured it out, but boy, did I feel like an idiot, right? We can forget. It's so easy for us as humans to forget. And guess what? We can even forget God. Really? Yes. Why else did God say this? Through Moses to his people in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. God says, "Only take heed and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children." What was the danger? They might forget these wonderful things. And guess what? They did. Turn over to Judges 13, verse 7. "And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, forgetting the Lord their God and serving the Baals and the Asheroth." And so we jump over to Psalm 103. "Therefore, David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." So easy for us to forget, right? We need to be reminded. And God knows that about us. And so what does God do in the Bible? He sets up reminders. Did you know that? Take a look and remember, what's the great worldwide event? The flood. Noah. And right after that, God says, "Noah, behold, I established my covenant between me and between you and between all the living flesh, that I shall nevermore, ever again, flood the world and drown it by a flood." Okay, that was the promise. And then we read there in verse 13, God says, "I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." And so what is that? That is the rainbow. And it was to be a perpetual remembrance, a sign of the covenant, so that they would remember whenever the rainbow appears in the sky, never to flood the world again. Now, is God going to forget his covenant? Not a chance. Noah? Maybe, right? So God knows we're weak in this way. So he puts signs of remembrance. Same reason I wear a wedding ring, right? Not only to ward off all those suitors out there, right? No. And Beth as well. But really, it's there to remind me of a covenant that I have with my wife, of love and faithfulness, and she with me. How about in the Old Testament, God says, You're to set up a heap of stones here to be a remembrance to you, so you don't forget, right? And then the Passover, which we read a few moments ago, when God smote Egypt, afterwards, he said, you're going to keep this meal. There's going to be a meal which is going to be a reminder to you of how I saved you here from Egypt by the Passover lamb, right? And so in the New Testament, we got a better Passover meal, the Lord's Supper, instituted at the Passover meal to be a meal of Oh, good. You haven't forgotten already. That's great. A meal of remembrance, that you would remember Jesus, that you would it'd be perpetually put into your mind that you don't forget him, that you don't therefore wander from the faith and lose heart and fall and be lost and condemned, but rather that you'd be refreshed, that this is a covenant that you're in the forgiveness of your sins in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful refreshment? That God is going to remind you that you're forgiven and that he loves you and that you are saved in Jesus in this meal. And Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And so we say, great. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I remember you. All right. Purpose number two. Benefit number two. In this meal, we're not only to look back to the past, remember Jesus, but it is in the present too. God directs us to present strength. How? By a communion between the Lord and his people and we with each other in love. This is a meal of unity, of oneness with Jesus and in Jesus with each other. So where is this written? This present strength we get in the Lord's Supper. How long do you guys last, by the way, without food and water? Not too long, right? We need it spiritually too. Let's read it here. Paul says, I speak as the sensible men, 1 Corinthians 10. He says, judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread. Would you say there's unity in this meal with the Lord and each other? It's a communion, a participation. That word in the Greek is koinonia. Say koinonia. It means fellowship, partnership, communion, sharing, if you will, friendship. It's a friendship with the Lord and us and we with each other, a communion and a sharing in this meal. He and us. We and him, we and each other, all together, one in God, under one King Jesus. And this is a meal for God's people. It sets them apart from the world. We're all one in the truth, one in love, under one King Jesus. And so that's why we require that you have agreement in doctrine when you come up to the Lord's table, right? I mean, if you're in another church body, like some of them, they promote that the Bible is full of errors, called historical criticism. You know, that would not be something you should be coming forward to the Lord's table with, right? Or promoting homosexuality, as a lot of other churches do these days. They need to repent before they come to the meal and believe in Christ. Or you could have another gospel, as is taught in some places. They need to repent before they can come and partake of this meal. This is one in truth, one in love, under one King Jesus, all of God's people together under the King. That's beautiful. What love that God would do this to give us such a great, great meal like this. And we read here that it's a love feast in the Bible. It's called a feast of love. God loving you, we loving each other. But it is a powerful communion. Okay? Powerful communion between the Lord and his people here. How powerful is it? Well, let me ask you, what do we partake of in the Lord's table? Bread and wine? Yes. Body and blood of the Lord? Yes. Actually, this is powerful friendship with the Lord we're experiencing. This is strength being poured into you. But really, the body and blood of the Lord present in the Lord's Supper here, is that really true? Well, I used to wonder that myself early on, long ago. But let's take a look and see what the Bible says. That's what counts, right? The Bible? We go over here to Mark chapter 14, verse 22. Jesus took the bread, blessed, and broke it, gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then the cup, "This is my blood of the new covenant." So what we said this last week, what's the safest thing to do when it comes to the Bible? Repeat it back, word for word, verbatim, and say, "I believe." So what do we do as Lutherans? We say, you say, "Lord, this is my body." We say, "Okay, Lord, this is your body. And this is my blood. Okay, Lord, this is your blood." And we just leave it at that. We don't understand it all about it. Wondrous things are going on here, but we just take him at his word and believe it and say, "I believe." You know? But some other Christians say, no. "You guys are totally off. This is symbolic only. They're just symbols of the body and blood of the Lord." And one reason they say is because when he gave the Lord's Supper, his body and his blood are still here. How could they be in the bread and the wine as well? Well, what would be my answer to that? What would be your answer? I'd be like, "Well, he's God, isn't he?"
Because he said so.
I like that even better. I mean, he created the world in 6 days. And if you think anything's too hard for the Lord, you go and question him about what he can and can't do, right? He's God. I mean, he multiplies bread. He walks on the sea. He's eternal. But then, secondly, okay, I'll give you that. I'll see, you know, I can see how you might say that. His body and his blood are here. How could they be in the Lord's Supper? I'll just allow that for right now. In this sense, let's take a look at some other scriptures. Let's let them be more convincing to us if necessary. Not that we need to go there, but we will. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 10. And you know that the Bible only talks really much more about the Lord's Supper in these two chapters, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. Let's see what we learn. Paul says, "I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink, for they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." So what is he talking about there? You tell me. The manna, right, and the water from the rock in the Old Testament, right? On their way to the promised land, God fed them in food and drink this way. What is the word there that Paul uses to describe those meals, that food and drink? Supernatural. Okay, come on. Supernatural, right? The word in the Greek is pneumatikos, which means supernatural, spiritual, really not of this world. That was just the manna and the water were supernatural. And those were foreshadowings, previews of the Lord's Supper, we see there. If the previews themselves were supernatural, otherworldly, how much more the reality itself, the Lord's Supper, right? I mean, if those were supernatural, this must be super supernatural meal that you're about to partake of in a few minutes. All right? And then, if that's not enough, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 again. Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a communion in the body of Christ?" What is it a communion in?
The body of Christ.
The body and the blood of Christ. I mean, there it is, in black and white, straight and clear. It's a communion in the body and the blood of Jesus. That's what we're going to do here. That's amazing. That's powerful stuff. Powerful. And then if that's not convincing enough, over here in the next chapter, which is one of the only other places we can look in the Bible, describe this. Paul is saying, "I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you." Verse 23. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way the cup, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Guess what the people were doing though? Misusing the supper. They were getting drunk. They were sending people away hungry with nothing from the meal. Paul rebukes them and says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." So what are we guilty of if we misuse the Lord's Supper? Profaning the symbols, the what? The body and the blood of the Lord. And I'll just tell you personally here, when I was journeying toward what do I believe about the Lord's Supper, when I got to this verse, that was a clincher for me. I mean, it says, you profane the body and blood of the Lord. And it is a communion in the body and blood of the Lord. Therefore, the body and the blood of the Lord are present here, we believe, supernaturally. We don't know exactly how, but we accept the word as it says. So that's a very, very powerful thing. If you misuse it, Paul says, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment upon himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Does that sound like a powerful meal to you? A meal that you can get killed if you don't use it properly, right? And they were really doing badly here with it. It's like in the Old Testament. Remember King Belshazzar? He was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, his dad, had stolen all of the vessels used in worship from the temple in Jerusalem and brought them to Babylon. Well, one night, Belshazzar, who didn't know the works of his father or his faith later on, he said, oh, let's have an orgy. Let's have a great party here. And they called for the vessels of gold and silver that had come out of the temple. And they were going to drink and have a party with God's holy vessels. It says they drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, bronze, iron, and wood and stone. And immediately, guess what happened? The fingers of a man's hand appeared and began to write upon the wall. And the king's visage changed and his color was lost. And it says his knees knocked together. And he called for Daniel to come and interpret it. And Daniel says, the word mene means your days are numbered of your kingdom, and God's brought it to an end. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. And Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom. Whoa, right? Whoa. Would you say that God considers his holy things pretty holy? Yeah. This was just cups and vessels used in the old covenant in the temple. How much holier are the things of the new testament, the new covenant? The body and the blood of the Lord are powerful things. The king learned this to his demise, but my goodness, look at this word that Jesus says in John chapter 6. Let me open the Bible and read it to you right out of the Bible. John 6, verse 53. Jesus said, listen carefully, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Isn't that amazing? That God should so love us like this, that when we take it in, he's in us, we're in him, we're abiding in each other, all of us abiding together under one King, Jesus. That is fabulous. If we misuse the Lord's Supper, or take it irreverently, then we get weak and ill and die, according to that verse. Therefore, the right use must bring what? Strength, health, and life are the opposites of that. And at this meal, I want you to think of God as your husband coming and saying, I love you. I forgive you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's a refresher and a strengthening in the relationship you have with God in the forgiveness of sins, right? Now, if you have a husband and a wife, and the husband never says to his wife, I love you, and then you ask him, why don't you ever say I love you? He says, well, I told her I loved her once way back when we got married 30 years ago. That should be enough for her. What kind of a guy would you call that? Jerk, right? A jerk, right? That selfish, another good word, right? Well, that's not our Lord. Our Lord comes to bless us. Beth and I every night, we give each other a kiss. We confess our sins. We forgive each other. We kiss. And what are we doing? Are we getting married again? No, we were married once long ago. And yet, every night we need to re-strengthen that covenant. That's what God's doing with us here. We're not getting married again, if you will, but he's strengthening us in the marriage relationship we have with God, with him, through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. You should hear him say, I love you. You're my people. I forgive you. You and me, I and you. And we need this that we daily not grow weaker, but stronger in the covenant. As Luther said, the devil is a furious enemy. When he sees that we resist and attack the old man, when he cannot rout us by force, he sneaks and skulks about everywhere, trying all kinds of tricks, and does not stop until he's finally worn us out, so that we either renounce our faith or yield hand and foot and become indifferent or impatient. And for such times, when our heart feels too sorely pressed, this comfort of the Lord's Supper is given to us to bring us new strength and refreshment. As when he says in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Do you want refreshment today? Do you need some refreshment in your life? Come to the Lord's Supper, God says. I will strengthen you and refresh you there. So finally, third benefit and purpose is not just to point us to the past, not just to present strength, but also to the future. Because what do we read there? It says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Do you look forward in the when you partake of the Lord's Supper? To the future? Jesus' aim here is to direct our gaze, not just to the past or the present, but to the final reward when he drinks it new with us in the kingdom. Just like in a race, right? You look back and you remember how far you've come. That's good. You take a drink in the present for strength, but you also look forward to the finish line, to the reward, to the rest, to the imperishable wreath waiting for you just at the next turn. And this is what Jesus does for us. He says, I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of this vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So should we call this the Last Supper? No. This is just a foretaste of a supper to come. The marriage feast of the Lamb. And the manna and the water from the rock sustained the Old Testament people till they got to the promised land on earth. The blood and the body, the water and the manna that God gives us in this meal sustains us till we get to the promised world and the world to come with strength. And this is the feast that is awaiting you. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make a feast for all people. A feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that's spread over all nations. God will swallow up death forever. He will wipe away tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, lo, this is our God, we've waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord, we've waited for him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, friends, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a foretaste of a better future God has for you. So, in conclusion, and that's always where you really wake up, right? To the senses, to the eyes of the flesh, this looks just like bread and wine, and it is bread and wine. But to the eyes of faith, behind this, supernaturally, it is the body and blood of our Lord, past, present, and future, until that day when we can drink it new with him in his kingdom, in a joyous world, in the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, What is the Purpose of the Lord's Supper? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 8 and 11 a.m., and Wednesday during Lent season, two services, 12 and 7 p.m., starting February 10th until Easter. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.